ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
This year marks a milestone for UWM's School of Architecture and Urban Planning as it celebrates its 50th anniversary. It's the only school of architecture in the state of Wisconsin and one of the top programs of its kind in the country. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to take a look at the tremendous impact that UWM's architecture school has had on communities, both here in Wisconsin and far beyond. Our guest is Bob Greenstreet, who recently announced some major news of his own. After serving 29 years as dean of the school, Bob is stepping down from his administrative post, and what a career he's had. Welcome, Bob. Good to have you on today's program.
Great to be here, Tom.
29 years. You were around almost as long as the school is.
Yes, I came when the school was just 10 years old. It was a fledgling school. Our campus was itself quite young. And so it's been a wonderful privilege to be part of its growth, to see not just the school grow in terms of prominence and impact, but also the university to raise to research one status, become one of the major universities in the country. To be part of that has just been a wonderful experience.
It really is, because when you arrived, UWM was still then known more as a commuter campus, a place that really served a very local population. And over your years, you witnessed a dynamic change in terms of the profile of both the university and, of course, the School of Architecture.
Yeah, this has been extraordinary. I mean, and it's just growing, the growing up of an institution. You graduate more alumni. Alumni grow in their profession because they're UWM grads. They're kind of hardwired to succeed. They do great things in all their professional fields. In architecture and urban planning, they've risen to the top of their fields, both in Wisconsin and beyond, every state in 49 countries. I mean, they've made their mark. But you only have to look around Milwaukee at any building, and our fingerprints are all over it. Either our faculty have been involved, our alumni have been involved, or our students. Student projects have been the catalyst for change with buildings like the public market tearing down the freeway. So it's been glorious to be part of that tradition of a public institution making positive change, in our case, in the physical environment.
And one other area that today is an absolute jewel or gem is what was the Park East Freeway, and now you have that wonderful stretch of development with the Fiserv Forum as a centerpiece.
Absolutely. That was a pretty unusable space. It had obviously a freeway hurtling through the middle of it, but that was used year after year in our design studios to show what could be. And those ideas eventually took root in the minds of politicians, developers, and planners, and has actually transformed that whole area of town, you know, bringing people into the city, expanding tax base, and creating some really fine buildings.
How has teaching architecture changed over these last three decades?
I would say that technology has been a major component in our teaching through the use, obviously, of computers and the associated programs. The biggest impact for me has been the change in the graduate of architecture schools. When I graduated back in, I think it was 1864, sometime around there, all we could really do was cut card and draw lines. We weren't very useful. We were very fashionable, but we weren't, frankly, very useful. My graduates now can come out and they can hit the ground running same day because their computer skills are so advanced that they can earn their living immediately. So they're incredibly useful. They're incredibly valuable, whether that's in architecture or in any of the associated fields that they go into. Architecture and planning are really problem-solving degrees. And these graduates go out into all sorts of fields. Our latest alumni directory, which we produced to celebrate in part the 50th anniversary, I think showed over 80 different career paths that UWM grads from the School of Architecture and Urban Planning had gone into.
We talk first about architecture because that's, of course, first in the name of the school. But let's talk a little bit about the urban planning program that is also a wonderful, wonderful complement to how you put a building up. There's the whole question of what the building should look like and where the buildings should go, right?
And how towns and cities should be laid out and how they should integrate transportation systems. The whole planning aspect is extremely important. Yes, we have a very fine urban planning program. It has produced planners certainly in every town and municipality in Wisconsin, and has a really good joint program with architecture that produces a double degree, which is a very potent combination of education. So we're very proud of the two departments that have really made their mark so well in the national arena.
Some people listening may say, well, you know, planning is great, but cities are built up now, aren't they? I mean, is there – what's left to plan if you already have the street grid laid out and you've got a confined geography that you're working in? You don't view architecture and urban planning as a static field. It's a dynamic one.
Oh, good Lord, yes. You have to take the long view. If you look at the Brookings report that came out a few years ago that looked at the need for physical infrastructure over the next, I think it was about 40, 50 years, places for people to live, to work, to play, they estimate that given population increases, we probably only have about 50% of that infrastructure, buildings, streets, whatever, in place. So there's an awful lot for new generations to do. And if the hiring of our current grads is anything to go by, a lot of that work is happening right now because we can't keep them in school long enough. They are getting jobs, really good jobs, very, very quickly.
Just looking at Milwaukee's downtown and the Third Ward, the Fifth Ward, a complete metamorphosis of what people thought we might be looking at, what, 10, 15 years ago. There was a Riverwalk in planning and there were a couple of condos downtown, but now what a different scene.
It's extraordinary. A lot of that work began in the 90s in the planning that was undertaken. I would say that when the recession hit, for example, Park East was like 80% planned. And then, of course, the recession wiped that out. Simply because the money goes away doesn't mean to say the needs and the demands don't. So when the economy recovers, as it did, all of that work gets flooded back. And you only have to look at the cranes on the skyline right now. Count the cranes. Things are very busy. And that can be noisy and dusty and inconvenient, but it's all about building the future of the city. Every crane shows faith in the future of Milwaukee, and that's bringing in people, a lot of young people, traveling around on the hop and scooters and goodness knows what else.
A lot of scooters.
And basically reinvigorating the Milwaukee in a different way, in more of a neighborhood way than the old model of a city, but in a very exciting way. So it's a great time to be in Milwaukee, and it's great certainly for our school, which has always prided itself on being in partnership with the city through the work that we do with City Hall, through the work that we do through our community design studio, where we're working constantly on projects which are intended to improve the quality of life in the built environment and to make citizens' life better and to help citizens to envisage a better future in the neighborhoods.
A lot of people who may not be close to the real estate development process may not understand how an architect and an urban planner fits in with developers, the people who have the property, have the money, or have the connections with the bank to actually bring the steam shovels onto the site and the concrete trucks. How does that work? How does an architect and a planner make a connection with the people who have the idea or the vision to produce a building?
Well, the traditional role of the architect, let's say, you could view as somewhat passive, which is they are approached by developers, cities, whatever, when a decision to build has been made and asked to then take those ideas, those general ideas of a building and a building program into some kind of physical reality. And that's important enough work on its own. Our school has always been a little more proactive than sitting back and waiting to be asked. We've always been particularly, I won't say aggressive, but we have certainly been proactive in getting out and suggesting things that what could happen. And that in that way, the physical change to the city has been prompted by the activities often of our students. It's a great way to test out a project, is to have students go at it, because if it has got controversial parts, no one attacks students. They're too lovable. But you can explore ideas in a public forum, and the politicians and developers can move back and say, well, it's the students, it's an academic project. But if they like the ideas, public market was a great way to demonstrate, look what you could do with a piece of dead space under a bridge. And the students did the work, and people said, yeah, that's a nice idea. Let's bring in... They don't have to build the architectural ideas of the students. That's not the point. Our students are the catalyst for change. So being proactive, working back with developers, working back with politicians who are the power makers and all these things and the financial is a great role for a school like ours, which is the antithesis of an ivory tower. It gets in and gets its hands dirty and tries to, if not lead the way, suggest alternative futures. Part of my future will involve reestablishing our Real Estate and Development Institute in the school, working with developers and realtors, and trying to bring together a fusion of good business with good design, which is something that the profession can sometimes be a little reticent to do. We want to get back in there in the early decisions that are made and demonstrate how design is a great attribute towards better building and more economical building.
Very, very exciting. We're talking largely about the city, about what you find in a large urban space like you find here in Milwaukee. Let's talk for just a minute about the suburbs. You know, what's their future? A lot of the older, middle-aged, older folks are either planning on or thinking of moving back into the city. What happens with what's left behind? Will there always be a suburb, or are you going to see them become more citified in the future?
I think you're going to see transition of some of those areas. I think you're going to see a thickening of settlements. Some of them can be very spread out, and I think you're seeing it in places like Glendale and certainly Wauwatosa, where there has been an intensifying of quality in the center, which gives there is a center, which perhaps there wasn't so much before. So in certain instances, you're seeing a higher quality of architecture. You're seeing a better sense of identity of place. And obviously, you know, our school is all over that in the programs that, excuse me, are not just entirely focused on Milwaukee. We work throughout the state. We are the only school of architecture in Wisconsin. We are offering online programs to campuses across the UW system to get the message out, to basically let people know that architecture is a great pursuit. It's not just a good return on in your investment. You can actually get, and this is a quote from me, you can get to change the world as an architect. And we found that with the millennial generation, who are an admirable group of people that do want to change the world, that architecture is a way you can actually physically see that over a period of time. What did I do? I did that. I made that school better. We helped with that park over there. So you can physically make a difference, and we find that that's certainly resonating, and our enrollments are beginning to show that after that demographic dip of a couple of years ago. They're heading up in the right direction now.
I've been talking about the urban area here in Metro Milwaukee, but anybody who drives around the state of Wisconsin today sees another real challenge out there. Small town Wisconsin is in big trouble, largely because there aren't jobs like there once were. Young people tend to be gravitating to big cities like Milwaukee and Madison. So what's the future for those little places that have, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 6,000 people? Is there a way to reinvigorate or reimagine what those small towns look like?
You can only hope so. There are more towns than there seem to be solutions right now, I'd have to say. Certain small towns reinvent themselves, like Cedarburg, for example, has very successfully recreated itself as a tourist destination. Other small towns have become centers for microbreweries and other, you know, new industries and occupations, but it is a significant challenge to find ways to repopulate the smaller towns. I don't think that all of them will survive. I would like more of them to survive. They can be wonderful environments. We try and work with small towns, putting together plans, and it's not really so much a physical challenge. Working with a small town in northern Wisconsin is no much different from working from a neighborhood in the inner city. The purpose is not to come up with fancy designs that will, you know, will solve those bigger problems, but to become a catalyst for community action, to empower people to sort of envisage what options they have in their future, and to seize that and to try and work on it. And we're very good, I think, at stimulating excitement by showing what could be in the future, showing alternatives, to try and be that kind of that stimulus for getting people together and saying, we can do this, we can do something. And we have lots of great successes from that, both within the city and to the furthest extents of the state.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio is Bob Greenstreet. Bob has been a frequent guest over the years on this program. He's been around a while. I guess some of us have been around a while, and he's always a delightful presence on this program. Bob just announced recently that after 29 years, he's stepping down as Dean of the School of Architecture and is going to have a new chapter in his life at UWM. You come, Bob, with a few credentials behind you, so you're not just showing up back on the faculty. During your tenure, you served as interim chancellor, assistant vice chancellor. You were deputy chancellor for campus and urban design, interim dean of the Peck School of the Arts. The list goes on and on and on, not to mention—
I've never been able to hold a job down.
Yeah, I was going to say. Maybe this next one will stick, but I mean, in addition to that, just a host of wonderful appointments professionally, including some terrific awards. And in fact, you know, some trivia I bet a lot of our listeners don't know is that in 2017, you were one of 30 architects in the world to be elected to the Fellow of the Royal Institute of Architects. So some rarefied air that you've been in, and that's just one of the many awards. So what do you do for a nightcap?
Well, I came to UWM in 81 with the intention of staying a couple of years with my wife Karen and I, and we've never found a reason to leave. It's been the city has been really very good to us, and UWM has been just a terrific place to build a career. I've been fortunate to be working in all those different realms that you've mentioned by staying in one place, which is a particularly wonderful thing because your impact can be a little more focused. I came here as a teacher. I'm essentially a teacher. But in my professional career of over 40 years, I've actually only taught for 4 years full time. I was lured into the dark side of administration as an assistant vice chancellor, then chair, then dean way back, and have always envisaged that I would return to teaching. I just naturally assumed I was going to get fired at some point. I mean, deans only last 4 years on national average, so I thought, I can't be long now. But it reached the point at our 50th anniversary when I thought, you know, it's been a privilege to be part of the group that has led the school for its first 50 years. But we're in a new century now. I have a lot of new, incredibly talented young colleagues And that future really, the next 50 years, is theirs. And it seemed like an opportune time to get back to roots in my teaching and research, to let them start really forging the future of the school in terms of the vision of the next 50 years. It was the right time to do it for a number of other reasons. We balanced our budget. We finished a campaign. We exceeded our goals in fundraising. Our enrollments at both undergraduate and graduate are up. Both departments are fully accredited for many years to come. It seemed like a very good opportunity to step back and become just part of the team again. My research, my interest, my teaching has always been the interface between architecture and law. I'm interested on how the law affects the profession and the physical environment. So it's a great opportunity to rekindle some of those interests. Frankly, the last few years have been so busy at the school that I've not had much time to really concentrate on those interests. So I'm looking forward to rekindling those interests, to regenerating the Real Estate and Development Institute, and just being a good team player. I believe I have some administrative duties at the campus level that Johannes and Mark have intimated. I think once you're in the club, you never get to quite leave. But that's okay. I'm a team player, and UWM is in my blood. And so I'm looking forward to the next few years.
You talked about how technology has changed the field and how students today are able to leave the university with a skill set that they could never have imagined 30 years ago. What about the students themselves? You know, their ambitions, their personality, the way in which they approach learning as opposed to the way you approach teaching. Any difference in today's student from when you came 29 years ago and began running the architecture program?
UWM students are just the best. I mean, they work so hard. They have this dogged determination to do well. So if they meet an obstacle, they just back up and they just run at it again. They are the most admirable group I've ever come across. They do incredibly well. They haven't changed. They're just as good as they ever were. They're just as much fun as they ever were. The only thing that irritates me about them is that as we played soccer with them in the annual match, they managed to stay the same age and we get older. That's really annoying. So we had to stop that because we were losing so badly.
Although now that you're not in administration, you could work out more, Bob, you know, maybe get
I'll be coaching.
Get that kicking leg back in shape.
I've had the fun taking students abroad, introducing them to London and Paris and Oxford. And it's always wonderful to be over there with this group of young people, and their eyes just open and their minds just open when they see civilizations that have been there, you know, for thousands of years. So I hope to be doing some of that in the future. They're always a delight. But yeah, the students have always been Midwest Wisconsin students, which means they are hardworking, determined, likable, and just a joy to be with.
So what kind of architectural designs come out of that Midwest ethic?
I would say pragmatic. They're very strong designers, but the Milwaukee mind likes to know how things go together. You know, I said before, we're not an ivory tower. If someone has an idea, they want to know and we want to know, can you build that? Well, let's stand up, you know? And we compete every year with the other schools in the region, something called the Chicago Awards. I think since that began in 83, we've won 70% of all of the design awards. The first prize, which is called the Ben Jock Award, I think we've won that 8 years in a row now, something like that. It's because when practitioners look at the students' work, they see the work, and there's some great work out there, some great schools in the Midwest. And they look at the designs, and sometimes they're terrific, but the clincher is, oh, this student knows how to build this. This student knows that you have to have fire stairs. This student, and you know, they're not kind of technical buildings. But they're beautiful buildings where the student has demonstrated an ability to understand how you would actually fulminate this in a three-dimensional reality. And that impresses people. That's I think, the secret, that this pragmatic materialism that our students have. They're smart as anything, but they like to get their ideas into a practical sense, which is why I admire them so much.
And the students that do leave and go on and populate architecture firms, not just in Milwaukee, but literally all around the country. We have people working all around the world. Mm-hmm. Do they come back and ever bring their ideas to the next generation?
Yeah. We have hired a couple of them, actually, who have gone off to Ivy League, practiced on the coasts. And then typically there's some point in their life where they have a family. And then Milwaukee looks awfully good as a place to raise your family. Your family is here. It's a glorious place to live. There's great housing. And so we have had quite a few of our former students who have returned, not just onto the faculty, but to the practices in Milwaukee. And that kind of brings new ideas into the city, which is great. What's happened really in the last 30 years is the proliferation of smaller practices, all run by grads, and they're doing a remarkable level of high quality work. They've helped to raise the bar of design in the city extraordinarily in the last 40 years. And it's UWM that has actually done that. If you see a building and you think it's a good building, I bet you there's a UWM student behind it.
And, you know, the neat thing about architecture, my wife and I talk about this all the time, when you see a new building go up, the public gets to be the judge. We all get to have an opinion.
Yeah.
And that's going to be daunting sometimes for architects.
Good.
It's not like it's going to be stuck in a book and put on the shelf. Your work is there sometimes for 100 years or more.
Well, Frank Lloyd Wright said, you know, doctors can bury their mistakes. Architects have to cover theirs with ivy.
But at the end of the day, that means you got to be good and you've got to have a successful institution that teaches you the right way, mm-hmm. how to be an architect, how to be a planner in order to be successful.
I think that's true. I think that the school has one of its strengths over the years has been that there's been a good safety net there so that anybody that comes to the school and comes out with a professional degree has demonstrated that they have the capacity to do good work when they get out there, and they do.
So who takes your place? What are the plans? Who's going to be responsible for the fundraising and paying the bills and hiring the faculty?
Well, Nancy Frank, my colleague from Urban Planning, is taking over as interim dean for the next period of time. She's done it before. When I snuck off and was interim chancellor for a year, Nancy took over and did a fantastic job. So the school is in very good hands right now. And then there will be a national search, international search. We've not done one of those for 30 years, so this will be a new experience.
You're going to have to dust off that old ad, right?
The playbook's going to have to be revised a little bit. So there will be a search, and the school, the campus, the system, the community will, as you know, will all be involved in that process, and they will find a great new leader to take the school to the next level, which is very, very exciting.
Well, you have raised it to a level that would be tough to match, Bob, and we congratulate you on your semi-retirement, leaving one part of your book all written now as dean, but now continuing with another chapter as you continue to be on the faculty and bring great ideas and energy to the school, we hope, for many, many more years to come.
That's the plan.
Been a pleasure, and come back and be a guest again on the future. Always welcome here.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
Bob Greenstreet, our guest on this edition of UWM Today, as he launches his next chapter as a member of the faculty after 29 years as Dean of the School of Architecture. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.